Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and a source close to the investigation, an anonymous source, is telling the AP that the Manhattan District Attorney is set to release Dominic Strauss-Kahn without bail at the hearing that should be beginning right about now. As you've no doubt been hearing, the sexual assault case against the former IMF chief is quickly being called into question. News broke late last night on both the AP and in the New York Times that prosecutors who once thought they had an airtight argument that Mr. Strauss-Kahn sexually assaulted a housekeeper at a Manhattan hotel now have serious doubts about their ability to prosecute the case. Since the rumors about the case falling apart are flying as fast and loose as the rumors about the initial case coming together, we thought we'd take a moment to discuss the legal details, but also the way in which it's been reported in the media. Is the news cycle too quick to judge in cases of sexual assault, think Duke lacrosse, or is it right to report closely on serious accusations against a prominent political figure? Are they now rushing to judgment the other way? But before we get going, how about a fact list of things we know now about the Dominic Strauss-Kahn case? So here we go. According to the Times, forensic tests have found, quote, unambiguous evidence of a sexual encounter between Strauss-Kahn and his accuser. The question then is whether her story of the circumstances around that encounter, especially whether it was not consensual, is accurate. The AP reports that the woman, a 32-year-old Ghanaian immigrant, has serious credibility issues among those now prosecuting the case. They claim she lied about her application for asylum in the U.S. and her story about her activity in the hours before and after the incident has changed several times. According to these AP sources, she continues to claim that she was assaulted. Strauss-Kahn has been under armed guard in a Manhattan townhouse after posting a total of $6 million in cash bail and bond. A hearing is taking place right now in which the Manhattan District Attorney's Office will reconsider the bail conditions set for Strauss-Kahn's detention. Again, the AP now reporting that he is expected to be released on his own recognizance. Joining us now is Jamie Floyd, legal expert, former defense attorney, former host of Best Defense on True TV, also frequent fill-in host for me on the show, as you probably know. Jamie, welcome back.
Hello, Brian.
So why exactly is this case being thrown into question? There is a lot of fairly vague reporting here.
Well, in a case like this, the entire case really rests on the credibility and testimony of the accuser, because in the end, the only two people who know what happened in the room are the accuser and the accused, here the housekeeper and Dominic Strauss-Kahn. Now, of course, there would be DNA evidence as well, but there are perhaps some scenarios that might explain away the presence of DNA material consistent with a sexual encounter, as was intimated by Mr. Brofman early on in these proceedings. So really it does come down to the accuser's credibility. And so if you don't have a credible accuser or you have no accuser at all, which we sometimes see in these cases, the accuser refuses to testify or disappears, the prosecution can't go forward.
And we are now getting word from the courtroom, from our WNYC reporter there, that Dominic Strauss-Kahn has been released. His house arrest has ended. That doesn't mean the charges are dropped, Jamie, right? That just means that he can go free while the case proceeds.
That's correct. He's freed on his own recognizance, freed from house arrest, which simply means I'm sure the terms, and we'll hear from Elsa, but I'm sure the terms include needing to stay in the United States, but he would be free to travel to some extent within the country. It does reflect, Brian, however, the likelihood that the serious charges against him will not be sustained. The judge would not make a change like this unless there were a significant and serious change in the underlying nature of the case.
So he can now go out to dinner, take in a little Shakespeare in the Park this weekend, and, of course, have nobody come up to him and bother him. There are two main credibility questions raised about the woman, the accuser, as reported by the AP and the Times. One is that she told prosecutors her application for asylum included mention of a previous rape in Guinea, But when they went and checked, there was no such account in her application. The other has to do with her contacts, that she made a phone call to a man in jail for drug trafficking the day after the incident. Prosecutors think that her bank account may have been used to launder money. But I wonder, how relevant is either of those things to the question here, which is whether Dominique Strauss-Kahn had forced sexual contact with her?
Well, you know, that's a very good question, as is the question, how relevant is Dominique Strauss-Kahn's reputation as a womanizer or perhaps even somewhat of a sexual predator in France to the question of whether he engaged in a criminal sexual assault in that hotel room? Both very good questions. The only question in the court of law is whether or not a rape occurred. And as you say, Brian, there are two issues here. The asylum application, which did not check out as she first testified, but of course she has not yet testified, but as she first indicated it should to law enforcement officials, and then the separate contact she had with an incarcerated man within a day of her alleged encounter with Strauss-Kahn. And the reason this matters, Brian, are the overall overriding credibility issues with the witness. You have to think about her on the witness stand being cross-examined by Ben Brofman or one of his very able cross-examining colleagues. And the question is, why was she having a conversation with a man arrested on charges of possessing 400 pounds of marijuana who had made, Brian, multiple cash deposits totaling about $100,000 into the woman's bank account over the last 2 years? A jury would be asked then to extrapolate, was this some sort of shakedown of Strauss-Kahn? That would certainly be the defense's possible theory of the case. And so the prosecution has to begin to think about what the defense investigators are going to do with this information when they undoubtedly uncover that information in their investigation of the woman.
So writing on the New Yorker website this morning, Judith Thurman said, it used to be that only a certified virgin, a nun in a habit, or a matron above reproach could make a rape charge stick, and that still seems to be the case, she writes.
That's fair.
He was convicted by public opinion on the basis of his prior sexual history, DSK. She is now being convicted on the basis of her inconsistencies. But Judith Thurman writes, I find it depressing that in 2011, a woman is presumed guilty if she isn't innocent.
It's a fair point. You know, in our law, a prostitute, and there are actually cases specific to this fact pattern, a prostitute can, in fact, be raped. And that is a very, very important point of law relevant to the DSK case, and I think relevant for all women who may be charging sexual assault. Your status as a woman when bringing these kinds of charges is wholly irrelevant. Your sexual history, your sexual path, and this has been hotly litigated and contested over the course of the last 20, 30 years, going back to the 1970s. So that point is very well taken. But so, too, is the reputation of the accused, which has very much been a part of the reporting of this story, and I think a large part of the reason that DSK was presumed guilty in this case, because of his reputation and past. And let's keep in mind that we all know who the accused is in this case, but most people, at least here in the United States, cannot name the accuser. I know in the foreign press she has been named, but our policy here in this country is to protect the identity of the accuser for the reasons suggested there in that comment.
We're going to go live now to the courthouse, I think we are, where Ben, nope, okay, I thought we were going to be able to take part of a live statement from Dominique Strauss-Kahn's attorney, but we'll see if we can get that up or not. Jamie, let's talk a little bit about the media. In fact, here, let's let a caller set this up, because I'm sure many people are having this thought right now. So Jim in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you? I'm calling to say that this case is really an example of how rape is the only crime in which many people argue that a mere denunciation is on in and of itself proof. And there have been a lot of cases of these sort of dubious or outright false accusations. I'm thinking, for instance, of last year of the five students at Hofstra University who had consensual sex with one woman who then cried rape to only discover that it was a false allegation. The Essential Jogger case 20 years ago. The frat boys in North Carolina who's accused of rape by an exotic dancer, that turned out to be false, too. Rape is the only crime in which someone can be convicted sometimes in court and certainly in public opinion, on a mere denunciation. And it has to be a public conversation about why that is.
Jim, thank you very much. So let's have some of that conversation with Jamie Floyd, who's been a host on a legal television channel. She's been a defense attorney herself. She's got a brand new post, by the way, on our politics website, It's a Free Country. You can see Jamie Floyd's piece, What We've Learned from the DSK Affair. And you wrote that this is typical of the rush to judgment that you see in the 24-hour news cycle, particularly in sexual assault cases. Is this, from a media standpoint, the Duke LaCrosse case in your mind? I mean, DSK has already lost his job as head of the IMF over this, lost apparently the possibility of running successfully for the presidency of France, which he had been planning to do, just based on the charge and all the publicity around the charge, not a conviction.
Yeah, and the Duke LaCrosse boys had a year of conviction in the media before they were able to exonerate themselves using DNA evidence. And one has to wonder, the caller mentioned the Central Park jogger case. Those boys, of course, were boys to men in prison. They were behind bars for, I want to say, 14, 15 years. Barry Scheck will correct me if I'm wrong, having worked that case. But one does have to wonder, if you don't have the resources of a DSK or a Dominique Strauss-Kahn to defend yourself and pursue investigations or perhaps DNA testing in a rape case where it's really the word of the accuser against the accused, how one would fight the considerable resources of the state. Now, that is not the problem. Getting back to the caller's suggestion, Brian, the problem is that understandably, members of the media, myself included, pundits on these 24/7 cable talk shows, are loath to call into question the allegations of women who claim that they have been raped, because all too often, Brian, women are raped. The statistic is 1 in 4, and those are women who've reported that they've been raped. So we have to think that the numbers are higher if you take into account unreported sexual assaults. So we don't want to discourage women from coming forward and contacting the authorities. At the same time, when these cases are in the media, especially the high-profile cases, the pendulum swings too far, in my view, in the other direction of taking everything we hear from the prosecution and law enforcement at face value and not asking the questions that we as journalists are supposed to ask, even though it may be very difficult to ask those questions.
Yeah, although even if we ask the questions, just focusing on the case certainly works to the detriment of the accused. And yet, how do you not do it? And that's the conundrum. If the head of the IMF is arrested on sexual assault charges and you have Cy Vance's office saying that these are credible charges, presumably the Manhattan District Attorney has no, you know, other agenda to prosecute this French politician, an international monetary official, and they believe that they have a case, and the hotel is standing by its housekeeper. And then, you know, John Edwards is going on at the same time. Anthony Weiner is going on at the same time.
Right.
You know, you can't, and it's Dominique Strauss-Kahn just in and of his own right. You can't not report the story, and you can't not report the story as a big deal. And these consequences come where his candidacy is ruined and he loses his global leadership job.
Well, it's certainly incumbent upon us to report the story. The first mistake I think made in this case was not on the part of the media. It was on the part of Cy Vance, who I think, to his credit, has exposed the fallibilities in the case. And let's be clear, just because the victim lacks credibility doesn't mean that the allegations are false, just as we should not have assumed they were true in the beginning. So let's maintain cooler heads at this point. But the mistake I think that was made came from the district attorney's office in asserting on the day of the indictment, quote, extremely serious charges. Okay, true enough, the charges in and of themselves are extremely serious. But then he went on to say, quote, the evidence supports the commission of non-consensual forced sexual acts. Well, there was no way, Brian, that the district attorney's office or even the NYPD, let alone the DA's office, could have mastered the facts at that early point in the investigation well enough to know the validity of that statement, that there was a forced, non-consensual sexual act. A DNA test had not even been run at that point. So this is where it begins, at the podium on the proverbial, and in this case, literal courthouse steps. And then we in the media take that and we run with it, especially in the 24-hour cycle where we need to plaster something up on the big flat-screen TV. Over and over again, we see Cy Vance up there making that statement, and it begins to reinforce itself as truth for the viewer and potential jury.
I want to play a clip of Strauss-Kahn's attorney from a statement outside the courthouse just a few moments ago, and then we're going to listen a little bit live to the accuser's attorney, who is speaking live now following this release on his own recognizance of Dominic Strauss-Kahn. Here is Strauss-Kahn's attorney, Ben Braffman.
I want to remind all of you that at each appearance in the last 6 weeks, we asked you and we asked the world not to rush to judgment in this case, and now I think you can understand why. We believed from the beginning that this case was not what it appeared to be, and we are absolutely convinced that while today is a first giant step in the right direction, the next step will lead to a complete dismissal of the charges.
DFK's attorney moments ago, and let's listen live a little bit. The accuser's attorney, Kenneth Thompson, is speaking outside this lower Manhattan courtroom right now.
The only defense that Dominique Strauss-Kahn has is that this sexual encounter was consensual. That is a lie. Now, I'm going to give you the facts that show that's a lie. Number one, when the victim walked into that suite, she did so for one reason, and that was to clean that suite.
All right, Kenneth Thompson, you can hear the news helicopters above, the big international story that this is. And Jamie Floyd, I mean, as a legal analyst, it doesn't matter, or it isn't supposed to matter, who we believe in our guts.
Yeah.
He's a defendant, which means she, or really the state, has to prove the case that the sex was not consensual. He doesn't have to prove that it was.
That's right. The burden of there's a presumption of innocence in the courtroom, if not in the court of public opinion, which is difficult to maintain, I suppose, once you actually get to trial a year later or so. But that presumption of innocence translates into a burden on the state. You're right. It is not on the victim. She's not a party to the case, something we forget. She is not represented by the state. She's merely a witness, the complaining witness. But the burden is on the state to prove that the sex was not consensual, that this was a forcible sexual encounter by this defendant, Dominique Strauss-Kahn. The difficulty is, of course, that they can't prove it without a credible complaining witness.
So how do they go about proving this in court or trying to, and what does the defense do? Because this release on bail, or on no bail, really, on his own recognizance, is not the end of the story.
Oh, not at all. This was just a bail hearing. The next date in court was to be in July, I think about the 18th or so, mid-July, July 16th, I think. And my guess is the next thing that will happen will be a motion for dismissal by the defense. The only thing the prosecution could do here would be to try and salvage the case by trying to secure some sort of misdemeanor plea from Strauss-Kahn. I don't think he's going to go for it, knowing what he knows now. And I will, I rarely do this, Brian, but I'll go out on a limb and predict that this case will be dismissed.
Really? Tell us why. We have about 40 seconds left.
They have no complaining witness, and it's now publicly unraveled. This is not behind the scenes, and Cy Vance is a very smart man, and I think fundamentally, though he made a grave error in trying this case so publicly at the beginning, he's a smart man. He's going to cut his losses, and he's going to do the right thing.
No complaining witness, meaning if her credibility is shot because of these other factors?
Well, and that's what we know, Brian. There's probably a lot more that we don't know, that the DA does know, and certainly that the defense has dug up.
And if that happens, does DSK get his reputation back?
Well, You know, there's a wonderful article in the Times I commend to everyone to read about the reaction in France today, and it seems that the French are very split about whether he can regain his reputation and his role in French political life.
Jamie Floyd, read her What We've Learned from the DSK Affair post on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. Jamie, thanks a lot for doing this on short notice. And have a great holiday weekend, everyone. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.